Yes. All right. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read out loud together just two verses. I'll read the rest for you, but let's read together verses 10 and 11 just to get the context of what this is happening. And I like to fill this place with the voice of God's word. I like us to read loudly and out loud and together in unity. And so, of course, if you don't have the our translation that I primarily teach from New King James, you can see it on the screen. Many good translations, but I like to teach from that one. So let's read together Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 11. Ready, go. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles, schemes like Wile E. Coyote, the schemes, the mind games, where the enemy's trying to deceive you and trip you up and bring bondage into your life. The Lord is saying right here, God will give you strength. God will be the strength and the power on the inside of you to gain victory over every temptation, over every mental attack, over every scheme of the enemy, over every trouble that he throws at you. The Lord is going to lead you in victory. Now, how do you do this? How do you stand against? How do you walk in this kind of victory? How do you take out these things and gain victory on the things that you're facing? How do you do it? Not in the natural, not in your own human strength, but in his strength. And he says it right here. How do you do it? By putting on the armor of God, the whole armor of God. Now listen, he goes on to say this. Let me read it to you. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. It's basically the demonic mafia, the devil and his demons in various levels and ranks. He says we can come against every single one of them, no matter if it's a regional spirit over St. Louis, something affecting your family, a personal demonic thing that's trying to tempt you. Whatever it is, we can gain the victory if we will look to the Lord and walk in his strength. Amen? Amen. All right. Good. Verse 13, therefore, because we're in this battle, therefore take up, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Then he goes on to describe some things. The whole armor of God. In that instance, it says put on. Let's talk about that. Let's do a little Bible study here today. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. I don't know about you, but it's like, man, what's this metaphor talking about? See, a lot of times we get so caught up in the various metaphors in the Bible. But listen, it's not very difficult. The Bible tells us what the Bible means. Jesus loved to use lots of stories, but all the stories pointed to what he was doing on the earth through the kingdom of God, the redemptive work of God. God uses tons of metaphors in the Bible, but they all are so, so simple and point us always to Jesus. But the text itself is going to help us to understand what this means. Notice it says, put on the whole armor of God. It's very important. It didn't just say, hey, put on a piece of armor, but the whole armor, the whole thing, every piece. Do not walk out. Do not enter into life. Do not enter into your day or into that trial or that battle that you're facing or an assignment from God. Do not walk out naked. And don't be like half clothed, you know? Put the whole armor on. And notice whose armor it is. God's armor. That's what's so important. That God, because he is our Father, because he is our God, and we are in covenant with him, because he has made promises to us, and he shares his resources, shares his strength, because he is for us in Christ. If you put your trust in Jesus, you're a child of God, and you're in Christ, and he's for you. All that he has is for you. He is sharing his armor. Man, that's good. Because God's never lost a battle. Right? He's never lost a battle. And God is telling us by the Holy Spirit through this Apostle Paul, this is how you walk in victory. This is how God will lead you to triumph in every situation if you'll put on the whole armor of God. See, most of the time we're walking in our own armor. It didn't say put on your armor. But I have to help you to understand something that a lot of times, even though a lot of times we think, we get caught up in the metaphor. Let's say it that way. We get caught up in the metaphor. So a lot of times what Christians will do is we have an imaginary or theoretical faith. So we imagine this helmet, or we sing a song, we do a little dance, and we think that I got the armor of God on. You know, you talk to some people, they're like, oh, I put the armor on every day. Belt of truth, shield of faith. Well, and I hope they mean it. I hope that that's true. But a lot of times I don't think we realize we're actually not putting on the armor of God. We're pretending. We're imagining. These metaphors, you can't get caught up in the metaphor. You have to realize that everything in the Bible is pointing to spiritual realities. That everything about God is not imaginary. We do not have an imaginary, philosophical, theoretical religion. We are believers in the true and living God who created us and gave his son Jesus really and truly, who really died on a cross, really rose from the grave, and is really sitting at the Father's right hand. Come on. Yeah. Yes. Amen. And so when it says put on the whole armor of God, this is a reality in the spirit realm to help us to gain victory over things. See, a lot of times what we're doing is we're walking into our day, walking into situations naked. You got to say it like that. You got to say it like that. We're putting on our own armor, not the belt of truth. We're putting on the belt of denial, believing lies from the enemy. Oh, yeah, no, we're not walking with the helmet of salvation. A lot of times we're walking into our day, walking with the helmet of confusion, manipulation, right? Oh, no, we don't have the breastplate of righteousness. A lot of times we're walking into situations and allowing condemnation to be that covering, guilt, condemnation. See, when you walk in your own strength, your own armor, it's like being spiritually naked. You're vulnerable to the deceptions, the temptations, the harassment, the torment, the intimidation, the fear, the guilt, the shame of the enemy. And then we begin to react to those things. We react to that fear. We try to control and manipulate. We blame. This is why we fight. This is why disunity happens, because we're not actually walking fully clothed in the armor of God. The word put on, simply means to be clothed with. Literally, it's just the same thing as you putting on clothes. Have you ever walked into your closet? Mostly this would be for the ladies. Men, we have no idea about how this works. But you walk into the closet and you're looking for something to wear. I mean, a lot of times, ladies, I have nothing to wear. And you have like a million options. Okay, I get it. No, I get it. I know. But you're walked into the closet, you're looking for something to wear, and you see something that's very nice, like you look really good in it, and you're like, I haven't worn that for like 12 months. I forgot it was even in there. See, that's how a lot of Christians are. You have this wardrobe from God. I mean, we're not talking about something clunky. The armor of God is not clunky, it's not frumpy, it's not too tight, right? You're not like, oh, right? It's not too loose, it's not baggy. No, we're talking like Ralph Lauren custom fit, tailored to you. Right, this is the armor of God that he is giving to you so that you can walk in victory. Yeah. And you walk in, but see, here's the thing. You can have something and not use it. Right? You ever have a gift card and you didn't use it? Because you forgot that it was there? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, no, see, I had to come up with a strategy. See, because people nowadays, they don't even just give you the gift card. Now they just give you an email. Right? No, and I'm grateful. Hey, I'm not trying to be ungrateful. Send me emails. No, I'm messing. No, but here's the thing. I don't remember it's there, right? So here's what I did. I got this place where I put my gift cards, because I'm blessed, right? So I got gift cards, and we use them strategically for, like, family times, okay? So I got the gift cards in a box where we put some stuff, and then I put a piece of paper in the box, and I write what's on the email. I go, don't forget, there's an Olive Garden gift card in your email. Like, go to Olive Garden, right? Yeah. Okay, see, so you have, listen, you have to appropriate what you have access to. Amen. That's what this is saying, that you have access to the whole armor of God. You have every piece of armor needed to walk in freedom and in victory if you'll put it on. Yeah. This is what he's saying. Put on the armor of God, meaning that you already have access to these things. They're already yours in Christ. They're your father's. And here's the thing. It's like when Father God put the robe on his son in the story of the prodigal son. He clothed him. He robed him. This is what the Lord wants to do. He wants to robe you. He wants to clothe you. He wants to cover you. But you have to allow this to happen. You have to put on. You have to go into the closet and to be like, ooh, I look good in that armor. See, if you walk into the spirit realm with the armor of God, you're going to look good in the spirit realm. You're going to look strong and victorious and intimidating to the enemy in the spirit realm if you'll put on the armor of God. But you have to appropriate what you have access to. You have to put on the whole armor of God. Now, okay, so what is the armor of God? What is this armor talking about? I love this in Isaiah 59, 17. This is God's armor. God's armor, it says in... it was here. I said, where'd it go? Where'd the scripture go? Oh, you guys see it. You guys see it. I don't see it. All right, never mind. Oh, come on now. No, it's God's armor. It's God's armor. Do you see this? It's interesting. This is exactly how it reads in Ephesians. But look, it says, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. This is talking about God. This is actually talking about the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, coming as a representative of his Father. And it's saying that this is his armor. It's his righteousness. It's his salvation. And he is clothed in this armor. This is why Jesus never lost a battle on earth. No storm could take him out. No demon could stop him. There's no sickness he couldn't heal. They couldn't throw him off a hill in Nazareth. Do you remember that? Do you remember in Nazareth? They tried to throw him off the hill and he just walked right through. Why? Because in the spirit realm, he had the armor of God on. He was tucked away and safe. Listen, notice what the armor is. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, the word of God. Well, what's being talked about here? What is the whole armor of God? You know what it is? It's nothing more and nothing less than the gospel. The whole armor of God is all that Jesus has accomplished and done for us and given to us. It's all that he is for us. Come on, think about it. Where else do you see phrases like put on in the Apostle Paul's teaching? You guys good with a little Bible study today? Yeah, a little Bible study. No, listen, because we're not trying to be all imaginary. This is real. We're in a real spiritual battle. We need real victory, yes? So the Apostle Paul in another place in Ephesians 4, verse 24, he says, put on the new man. Put on the new man. What is that? It's that now that you have put your trust in Jesus, you're born again. We say, well, if I'm already born again, why do I need to put that on? Because you need to appropriate what you already have access to. You have to, by faith, walk in the reality of who you are in Christ. If you were in debt and now you have been blessed and come into an inheritance and you're not in debt anymore, you have to live like that. Yes? If you continue to walk and talk and act like you're in bondage or in debt or in slavery, then your life will not be changed. What Jesus has accomplished has to, by you, by faith, be received in childlike faith and appropriated to your life. Yes? So you have to put on the new man. In Romans chapter 13, he says, put on Christ. Literally, the Bible says, put on Christ. Guess what? That's what the armor is. See, the Apostle Paul is using a military metaphor to help us to understand there's a spiritual battle and you need to be equipped. But he's not talking about anyone other than Jesus. Yeah. Come on, does that get anyone else excited? The armor is Jesus. Amen. Come on, think about that for a second. That means that you are in him. You are in Christ. And everything he is, everything he has done for you, everything that he has provided for you and promised to you is available to you if you will rely on him. Amen. Put on the armor of God. It's the same reality, different metaphor, same reality as being clothed with Christ as a new creation. Listen, when you put on the armor of God, you're putting on Christ, who he is. You're being covered in the gospel. You're being protected, shielded, armed. Putting on the armor of God is resting fully in the finished work of the cross, relying solely on the gospel, the full gospel, and abiding completely in Jesus. See, this is what really gets me, is that it says put the whole armor of God on. We need the full gospel, the whole gospel, everything he has done for us, everything he is, and we're resting fully on that finished work. See, when we say, oh, yay, Jesus died for like two of my sins, and then you have to like compensate for all the rest, that's not the armor of God. That's your righteousness. No. What we're talking about is this full rest. See, when you put on the armor of God, there's rest, there's safety, there's protection, there's covering. Amen? Oh, come on. Let me break this down a little bit. I'm going to go quick here. This is the part of the message that's a little bit going to be like a machine gun. You know what I'm saying? Some preaching is like a sniper rifle. You take like one bullet and just pow, and you take out that lie of the enemy, right? Give me a second here. Let's just walk through the armor of God. I'm going to be like a machine gun. I'm going to be like, bah, 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 bah. I'm going to come at you with like a lot of scriptures, but let it just, again, like drink from a fire hose for a second, okay? I'm just going to go at it, drink from a fire hose, throw some stuff at you here. So number one, what is our belt? The Bible says right here in verse 16 that the belt of truth. Well, didn't Jesus himself say in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Amen. Jesus is the truth. And everything that he preached, everything that he spoke from his word, the gospel, is the truth that sets us free. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, he says this. Then Jesus said, those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free. Do you see what's going on here? That when you fully rely upon the truth, who is Jesus, he brings freedom to your life. He adopts you into the family of God. You become a child of God, and there is no bondage. There is nothing that will cripple you or hinder you in your relationship with God. Amen? This is the truth he wants you to walk in. He himself, you are abiding and remaining in Christ, who is the truth who sets you free. And this comes through his word. You'll notice that it's by trusting in him, listening to his word, following in the teaching of God, which is why we do discipleship. Okay. It says, John 17:17, Jesus himself says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Do you see that Jesus is the word? Jesus is truth. This is the gospel. Appropriate the truth of the gospel to your life and walk in the freedom, set apart, sanctified, safe, and secure in the Lord, where the enemy and sin and all that cannot touch you. Because you have the belt of truth. Come on, see, this guy I just did one thing right there. We got to get the whole armor. All right, number two, what's our breastplate? It says in verse 14 again that our breastplate, put on the breastplate of righteousness. See, in the spirit realm, it's not a physical breastplate. So like in the natural, you're supposed to imagine a breastplate or a belt. But in the spirit realm, you're supposed to imagine righteousness, truth, okay? So what is righteousness? Or rather, who is righteousness? 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him you are in Christ, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. When you have the breastplate on, who is on you? Who is covering you? It's Jesus. He is your righteousness. It's he himself, your Savior, the Lamb of God that was slain to wash you of all sin and cleanse you and make you right with God. Amen. He is your righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God's righteousness covering you. Yeah? So the Bible says that now that you've been justified, you have peace with God. You've been reconciled to God. You're adopted into the family. See what's going on here? That righteousness is the security where there's no shame or condemnation in the Father's house, the security of knowing that you are right with God, justified as if you've never sinned, all sin forgiven and washed, not because of what you have done, but because of the blood of Jesus. That's a good thing, amen? See, this is not your righteousness. It's not your truth. It's not you doing it. It's you allowing him to do it for you, yeah? Woo! Resting, hiding, abiding. What are the shoes? You guys are catching on. The shoes are the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Doesn't the Bible say in Isaiah that he is the Prince of Peace? In fact, in Ephesians 2:14, it says, for he himself is our peace, wholeness, completeness, where he takes broken things and puts them back together. Peace. John 14:27, Jesus actually says, peace I leave you. Listen, my peace I give to you. Do you get it? He is the Prince of Peace. He is peace itself. He is the one that heals and reconciles every broken part in our mind and emotions and our soul, heals every relationship, starting with our relationship with God. He is our peace. And then he says, listen, I'm going to give you my peace, not the world's peace, not the anxiety, not the give and the take, not the up and the down, not based on circumstances. He's talking about resurrection peace, eternal peace that he has always had, that he always is, no matter the circumstance, he's at rest. Is God ever worried? Is God ever scared? Is God ever afraid? No. Is there ever lack in heaven? No. What happens when there's turmoil on earth? The Bible says he sits upon the throne above the flood of the earth. When the nations are raging and plotting and there's wars and there's political schemes and conspiracies and all these things that some are true and some aren't and we make it up and then some are true and such. And what do you know what God's doing? Psalm 2, it just says he laughs. He sits on his throne and goes, ha, 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 ha. You think you're going to stop me from healing and redeeming this world? Oh, no, I've already chosen Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, and the government will rest on his shoulders. Guess what? It's not on yours. Amen. Oh, aren't you glad that the government is on his shoulders and not yours? Meaning in your ministry, but also in things that we're going through as a country. He is the King. He is the Redeemer. He is the Lord. He is the Prince of Peace, yes? And the way he leads is with peace. The way he leads you is with peace. This might be a good opportunity just to mention, if that's not your experience, put on the whole armor of God. Because listen, he hasn't changed. He hasn't moved. He didn't lose his peace. In fact, we already know where to find him, don't we? Oh, the Bible says he's seated on the throne in heaven and that we can come boldly before his throne through worship by the blood and through the flesh of Jesus and as we worship him with thankfulness and come into his presence. In fact, the Bible says he's building his church, that he's in the midst of where two or more gather. So if you've lost God, he didn't lose himself. If you lost the joy of your salvation, he didn't move. If you've lost your peace, he didn't move. He's still on the throne. He's still building his church, gathering with the saints, right? He's still in heaven. Still his kingdom is advancing. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. See, so, but if you have stopped partnering with Jesus, you've stopped praying, you've stopped partnering in preaching the gospel, you've stopped coming to him, or if you've stopped gathering as a lifestyle, no wonder. If you've not put on the whole armor of God, God's not the problem. The gospel hasn't lost its power. Amen? Yeah. Put on the whole armor of God. Get into that closet. You look good. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you see that the peace of God has a healing and protecting effect? That there are actually traumas that you've been through that have affected your mental capacity. There are things that people have done or said and things you've gone through and that's causing these anxieties. But the Lord wants to be that shoes of the gospel of peace. Don't want you walking around naked, barefoot. He wants the shoes of the gospel of peace that actually guard your heart and mind because he himself, your peace, your Prince of Peace, covering you and protecting you and guarding you. Yeah? All right, what's the shield? It says here in verse 16 that the shield is shield of faith. What I find interesting, though, is all throughout the Old Testament, guess who is called the shield? God himself. It actually begins in Genesis 15:1, where God says to his own friend that he is Abraham's shield. He says in Genesis 15:1, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your very great reward. I am your shield. David, at least 16 times in the Psalms, calls God his shield. David understood that he's protected and shielded and covered by God. The shield of faith is simply the childlike trust that we're talking about, that when I'm trusting him to shield me, defend me, cover me, that is what causes me to be protected. I love Psalm 3, verse 3. This has been my jam lately. I'm trying to learn it. Really learn it. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. Some translations, about me. My glory and the one who lifts up my head. Come on. My shield, my glory, the lifter of my head. Do you see it? He is your shield. He is your breastplate. He is your belt. He is your shoes. He is the armor of God, and it's his righteousness, his peace, his truth for you. All right. Hey, we're making progress here. What's the helmet? Verse 17, take up the helmet of salvation. Salvation. Did you know that the name of Jesus means salvation? Come on. Yeshua, the Hebrew name for Jesus. Then in the Greek, it's Iesus, which then gets us to Jesus, okay? But my younger son, his name is Joshua. That's the English equivalent of Yeshua. Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus, Iesus, all the same name. Guess what it means? It comes from the Hebrew. Yahweh, the name for God, Yahweh is salvation. That's the name of Jesus. He is salvation. He is healing. He is deliverance. He is freedom. He is victory. He is blessing. That's who he is. He's the helmet. Come on. Do you get it? Put on Christ. I love it in Ephesians 2:8. Even the Apostle Paul, in the same letter, he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is a gift of God. And the Apostle Paul also explains that because we have the mind of Christ, I love that, because he is our salvation, we actually have the mind of Christ. This is because your spirit's been born again, and your spiritual mind has been sanctified, and you are one with Jesus, and by his spirit, you can hear him, you can be led by him, you can gain revelation and truth and light instead of walking in darkness and confusion and such. And so the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, that you have, 1 Corinthians 2:16, I forgot about that. 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. The application of that, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Sound mind. Whose mind? Jesus' mind. Come on. He's not afraid. Not discouraged, hasn't lost heart, hasn't lost vision. He's not confused. He's not like, oh, shoot, I don't know what to do right now. No, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail. He always leads us in triumph because he knows everything about everything. Holy Spirit, the Bible says Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. He's the Spirit of truth. You've been given the spirit of sonship, the Holy Spirit, who is the spirit of power, meaning you can do all things that God has called you to do. This power, the spirit of love, which means you can do what God's called you to do the right way. And with the mind of Christ, clear mind and truth, clarity, wisdom, all of that found in Jesus. What's our sword? Well, you're going to have to take level 3 for that. Just messing. But that is what we teach more specifically in level 3. I'm being silly. It says in verse 17, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You notice it's the Spirit's sword, the Holy Spirit's sword. And it's saying it's the word of God praying. The word of God praying. It's not just talking about the Bible. It's talking about us believing God's word and voicing that word out of our mouth, just like Jesus taught us in Mark 11, 22 through 24. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, not in yourself, not in religion, God. Amen? Yeah, ain't no self-help around here. That don't work. Only God's help. Have faith in God. He says this, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. This is the word of God coming out of our mouth. This is the sword of the Spirit praying, saying, God, I'm asking you, I'm believing you for this, commanding those mountains to move in obedience to the Lord, right? In submission to his lordship, taking authority over things in the world and using that sword of the Spirit. It's the only offensive weapon, but you'll notice it's the Spirit's sword. It's his word in our heart coming out of our mouth. Amen? That sword is powerful, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That word of God coming out of our mouth is a sword, sharp sword in the spirit realm to do destruction to the enemy and bring freedom to human beings. That sword is what brings life and freedom and healing and deliverance. That's the sword of the Spirit. I think you're catching it. Jesus. Come on, say him. Jesus. Jesus is the gospel. Jesus is the armor of God because he is the gospel. He is your righteousness, your peace, your truth, your freedom, your healing, your salvation. And this is what I felt the Lord wants me to share with you more practically in this moment. And I would say not just practically, but prophetically. The Lord wants you to hear that in him, you are safe. That your safety, your security, your peace, your rest, your confidence is found in him. It is because Jesus walked in the armor of God, meaning he walked in his Father's righteousness. He walked in a confidence that he was a child of God, the only begotten Son of God. He walked in a confidence of being loved by God, sent by the Father. He knew his own identity and authority. Because he walked in this reality, he was wearing the armor of God. So that everything that Jesus faced, whether it was being tempted in the wilderness to sin, and he never gave in. Remember, he was tempted in every way, just like you and I, but he never sinned. Why? Armor of God. Use the sword of the Spirit. Or whether he's in a storm and he's able to sleep. How can he sleep in a storm? How can there be a storm and waves are crashing and the wind is howling and the water is filling the boat, but Jesus is sleeping? How is it that when he walked through the crowd at Nazareth, we're talking like 100 people at least, maybe 200 people, trying to push him off a cliff. And you do not see Jesus being like, let's go. Right? Like you do not see some Matrix thing going on here, yeah? You don't see, let's go. No, you don't see that. What does he do? Just walk right through him. Like, where'd he go? See, Jesus was so at rest, so unafraid, could not kill him. Yeah. Never lost a battle until he chose to willingly lay down his life at the cross, and even that was victory. This is why Jesus could sleep in a storm. Why? He had the armor of God on. He had the helmet of salvation guarding his mind. He had the breastplate of righteousness guarding his heart. He had the belt of truth. He walked in that freedom, that walked in the gospel of peace. It's who he is. He walked into this reality. I find it interesting. Let's shift over to our prophetic picture of King David. David's this young shepherd boy, and there's this giant of a man, Goliath. And I find it very interesting and significant that the text of Scripture, the Bible itself, lists very specifically the armor of Goliath. Like really specifically. Like it lists this armor. It goes through and talks about his shoes and the armor platedness of his shoes and this breastplate. And he had a shield, and then his shield bearer had a shield. And it talks about his sword and his javelin and his helmet. And it was all bronze and strong. And David had nothing. Yeah, I find it very interesting. In fact, David says to Goliath, man, you come at me with sword and shield? That's all you got? See, in the natural, David had no armor. In the natural, he had nothing. You got this little, short, teenage boy who's not a professional warrior. And then you have this professional, skilled warrior with all the equipment. But why was David victorious? Because he had the armor of God on. Come on, think about this. See, Paul is giving us the revelation in Ephesians 6, but I'm telling you, this is a spiritual reality that has always been throughout the entire Bible. that those who are trusting in the Lord, God is their shield. God is their warrior. The battle belongs to the Lord. But watch what David is doing. David is so confident in the Lord. He is so at rest in the victory that he has, the authority and the victory that he has in the Lord. Guess what David is doing? He's running at that giant. Come on, think about it. This is not passive faith. Well, you know, I mean, if God wants to take that giant out, he'll give him like COVID or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, this is not passive faith. Everyone else is hiding. Everyone else is running. Everyone else is scared. Why? Because they're spiritually naked. Because they didn't have the armor of God. But one young shepherd boy walks up. Everybody looks at him in the natural and says, "You can't do it." And he's like, "Yeah, but you don't see what I see." I love Smith Wigglesworth says it this way. This is an old preacher back in the day. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, "I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside." See, that's how David saw himself. He knew his authority in the Lord. He knew the power of the Holy Spirit. He knew that he had God's armor. So he was so confident at rest, he's running at the giant. Yes? This is what it looks like when you have the armor of God on. Listen to what David says in Psalm 27, verse 4. He says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Listen, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." He's not talking about a physical temple there. In fact, you know it because he says the secret place of the tabernacle, meaning that there's the physical tabernacle, but David understood that even the physical tabernacle or temple that was on earth that the Jewish people built was really a reflection of heaven. And David understood, even before Jesus has come, David understood, "I can go into that place." Now, of course, the Bible makes it clear that the blood has been shed once for all, and through Jesus, we have access to the Father's throne anytime. David is describing the secret of the secret place. That when you get into the secret place, which is nothing less than the throne of God and heaven itself, when you come into God's presence, notice what he's saying. "Oh, I just want to be there." He's saying, "One thing I've asked the Lord, this is what I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Meaning, every day. That's the priority of my life. David was a husband and a father and a warrior and a king, and he had a job and an assignment and all this thing. But what was the primary occupation of his life? What was his number one goal every single day? "I need to get into the presence of God." Yeah, that when you understand that you cannot live this Christian life victoriously without the armor of God, then you would never leave your house naked. I mean, I know some of you, you take a long time to get ready. Yeah. Some of us, we don't need that much time. Just messing. Because we don't look good no matter what. No, I'm messing. Yeah, some of you, you take a lot of time to get ready. Nothing wrong with that. Beautiful people. But how much time do you get ready spiritually? Yeah. Right? And this is the thing, David's saying, "Man, I'm not going to head into any battle unless I'm in the secret place. I need his presence." So David would position himself to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. That's worship and adoration. To seek God, that's asking God what to do. That's hearing the voice of the Lord. And in the presence of God, he understood, "This is my secret." "David, how come you never lost a battle? David, how come the arrows are flying around and they never hit you?" He's like, "Because I'm tucked away." It's like he'd just be in that presence of God, and in the spirit, he gets tucked away. Listen to the prophetic word to you today. You're safe. Oh, I know it doesn't feel like that around you because you have fears on the inside, troubles on the outside. The enemy's trying to mess with your mind. I know. People say stuff. Maybe it's at work. Storm swirling around you at work. Maybe at school. People talking all craziness, yeah? People do that. Well, you can go in the helmet of anxiety, the barefoot of insecurity, the breastplate of condemnation, the shield of self-reliance, the sword of anger, or you can go in the armor of God. Yeah? When we're without the armor, that's when we blame. That's when we get angry. That's when we freak out. That's when we try to use guilt. That's when we're susceptible to guilt, self-doubt, anxiety, all that. But when we walk in the Spirit, putting on the whole armor of God, clothing ourselves with Christ, totally dependent upon the gospel, abiding in Jesus, resting fully on the finished work of the cross, rest, confidence, security. Let me say it this way. You don't need to defend yourself because he is your defense. Come on, think about it. Think about Jesus. Why was he able to love those who did not love him? Why is it that he did not retaliate when somebody said something harsh to him? Why is it that he didn't hurt people but forgave them? How is it that he could turn the other cheek? Look, he was violent to demonic, but he was gentle to people, yes? Why? Listen, he could serve because he was safe. This is how you forgive. You don't have to be defensive because you are already defended. See, most of the time what's happening is that because of things that have happened to us, we build up psychological and behavioral defense mechanisms that do not help relationships. But when we are resting in the fullness of Jesus' love and his grace in our lives, because he defends me, I do not have to defend myself. Because I am secure in the Lord, then I can serve. Yes? Because he is my provider, I can give. Because he is my warrior, I don't have to fight people. Do you see this? And the Lord can go before me. And the Lord can silence those voices. And the Lord can vindicate. And the Lord can defend. And the Lord can do those things as I am in the secret place. This is what I wanted to help you to see. You don't have to hide anymore. You don't have to run away. You don't have to escape from the natural things. If you will run and hide and escape in him. Listen, we all want goodness and peace and joy, and we don't want to be in turmoil. And so what happens is when we get into those places and we're scared and we're hurt, then everything in us is like, run, fight, hurt them. But that's the flesh. But when you are safe in the Lord, I love it. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Oh, yeah, my flesh wants to run away. But guess what I do? I run into the Lord. I say, you are my hiding place, and you always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Yeah? That's an old one. You are my hiding place. Isn't this what David sang over and over and over and over again when somebody was trying to kill him? Oh, the craziest story. I feel like I need to share this. It's the craziest story in the whole world to me. It's like, what the heck is going on in this story? King David being chased by Saul, or he's not a king yet. He's being chased by Saul. Saul hates him. Saul's jealous of him. Saul wants to kill him. David's done nothing wrong. He's lost everything. He's lost his wife. He's lost his family. He's lost his reputation. He became a country singer. I mean, all of that, okay? Yeah, I know. It's a funny joke. Okay. He's hiding in a cave. Saul's army surrounds the cave. There's no way out. They're hiding in the back of the cave in the pitch darkness behind rocks. Saul's like, oh man, I drank too much coffee this morning. And so Saul's like, I'm going to go to the restroom. Saul goes into the cave so he can be alone in private. And he sits down on a rock and he's going to the restroom. I mean, seriously. Everybody, all of David's men are like, this is it. This is it. God said he's going to do this. See, just because somebody says God says it doesn't mean you should do it. There's a difference between God said he's going to do this and this is the application. You have to, by the Holy Spirit, discern the application. All right. So David is like, I will never touch the Lord's anointed. But because of their prodding, this is it. Kill him. Kill him. This is God said he's going to hand your enemy into your hands. Well, just because God said he's going to hand him into your hands, I mean, you should be the one to kill him. So David's like, no. If God wants to kill him, God can kill him. I ain't doing nothing. But David was like kind of, you know, in the emotion of it. And I think almost in a sense trying to prove his innocence, went over to Saul and took Saul's garment, I should say, and cut a little piece of the garment off of Saul's robes. Little piece, right? A little origami or something, you know? Maybe he did it like an airplane or something. And so Saul's done. Saul leaves the cave. David, listen. David should have just stayed in the cave. Just stay in the cave. Why did he do what he's going to do? He leaves the cave. The whole cave is surrounded by a massive army that has one assignment: to find and kill David. He just escaped. He just escaped. Saul left the cave. Everything is fine. Stay in the cave. What are you doing? Do you guys, when you read the Bible, are you like, no, what are you doing? Right? By the way, that's how it is when we watch like shows at my house. Like my kids are like, Dad, like, I'm like, what's going to happen? They're like, you know, they're going to be fine, Dad. I just do it just to be fun. Okay. He should have stayed in the cave. Just stay in the cave. David leaves the cave and he goes up to Saul. This is what he does. And he says, oh, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have cut the hem of your garment. But this is to prove that I'm not trying to kill you. I'm not joking. And he's like this. Do you know that's the... Right, that's the posture. Now that's the armor of God. That I don't have to defend myself because God is my defense. He has made promises to me, and no man can stop the will of God. Do you see? David postured himself in a human sense completely vulnerable. Right? Side note, he did flee from Saul's house, right? So I'm not talking about if you're in an abusive relationship, you get out, you come talk to us, we help you out. That's not what I'm talking about. We're not talking about that. What we're talking about is so often in our workplace, with our friends and at school and things like that, we make it worse. We start attacking and fighting, and we do the same thing as them. We try to fight in the flesh. And they're gossiping, so then we gossip. But the Bible's saying, no, you don't need to wrestle that way. Be secure in the Lord, and now position yourself to be a person who forgives and serves and walks in love. You be the peacemaker because you're safe in the Lord. The reason why we're fighting and lying and stealing and trying to manipulate and all this is because we are trying to find acceptance from somebody other than the Lord. But if he is your safe place, your hiding place, you don't have to fight for yourself. The Lord will fight for you. And sometimes that means getting on your knees with your head like that. And other times it means running straight at that giant. Amen. You just got to know by the leading of the Spirit what to do. But either way, it's in the strength of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Oh, I think we need to run to him. Come on. Yes, Shannon, you want to come on up? Oh, thank you, Lord. I think we need to run to the strong tower. I think we need to spend a little bit of time putting on the armor of God. I believe some of you have been struggling with that torment, struggling with things that people are saying to you or doing to you. Let me tell you, it's not right. It is not right. No, they are in the flesh, and it's being inspired by demons. But God is your refuge. And I'm declaring over you today, I'm prophesying it to you, you are safe in him. Oh, we need to run to the Lord. I love to just say it. I love to just say it. I'm preaching it to you, but I love to say it to him. You are my righteousness. You are my peace. You are my truth. See, when I'm putting on the armor of God, And I will do that meditatively, right? But it's not, I'm not focusing on the helmet so much. I'm focusing on you are my salvation. Your salvation covers my mind. I have the mind of Christ. Come on, begin to tell the Lord that right now. Begin to tell the Lord. Close your eyes. Just kind of forget the people around you a little bit. Stuff going on. Just you and him. Begin to tell the Lord. Whisper before God. And tell him, Jesus, you are my safe place. You are my refuge. Begin to speak out that Jesus is your righteousness. Tell him. Say, Jesus, you are my righteousness. You are my truth. You are my freedom. You are my peace. You are my healing. You are my righteousness. You are my salvation. Tell the Lord right now, say, I'm running to you. I put you on, clothed with Christ. Tell the Lord, say, thank you. I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Tell him, my life is hidden with Christ in God. Lord, my life is hidden in you. I am safe. I am hidden in you. Come on, just talk to him. Talk to Jesus. Pray to him. In your own words or just steal mine. But just tell him right now, say, yes, your presence is enough for me. You are enough for me. Your gospel is enough for me. Tell the Lord out loud in faith. Tell him, say, I am safe in you. You are my security. You are my safe place. You are my hiding place. Tell the Lord, I'm looking to you. I'm abiding in you. I'm depending on you, Jesus. And tell the Lord, if you're brave enough to tell him, say, I don't have to defend myself because you're my defense. Tell him, I don't have to defend myself, Lord. You are my defender. I'm safe in you. I can serve because I'm secure. Jesus, we take authority over every thought that is not of you. We quench every fiery dart, every word of the enemy, every lying spirit we silence in the name of Jesus. We take every thought captive right now. Lord, I pray, speak, minister, reveal yourself